Well, good morning. This is a huge subject. Christ the King, who is all and is in all. John the Apostle said, Jesus did many things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. So I'm going to give you a token only. What is a king? Well, the definition of a king is the male ruler of an independent state or kingdom, especially one who inherits the position by right of birth. In other words, a king rules over a kingdom. They are inseparable. You can't have a kingdom without a king, and you can't have a king without a kingdom. We have earthly kingdoms and we have got spiritual kingdoms. Our current earthly kingdoms, there are about 10 in the world. But all those kings, and in some cases their queens, are figureheads only. They don't have any real power or authority. In fact, the governments, the parliaments rule. The United Kingdom being one of them. Then you've got Netherlands, Norway, Belgium, Denmark, Sweden, just to mention a few. But historically, the attributes of a king was that he had all power, all authority and majesty. And their subjects, the king's subjects, had no choice. They were born into a kingdom and they were totally subject to the king's whims. They really didn't have any say. In King David's time, it was the divine right of kings. The kings derived their authority from God and could not therefore be held accountable for their actions by any earthly authority, such as a parliament. If the king wanted someone's head off because they looked at him in a way that he disapproved of, it was done. We also come under spiritual kingdoms, which is not geographical, but in the hearts of people. And there are two spiritual kingdoms. There's God's kingdom, which we've heard and you saw the video, the kingdom of light, love and truth, which is the supreme kingdom with Christ Jesus being the king and who is all-powerful, all-knowing and all-present. Then you've got Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, hate, fear and lies, whose head is known as the prince of the air, the world, or the evil one. Jesus says, if Satan drives out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? So Jesus recognized that Satan has a kingdom. John the Apostle said the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Remember, Satan is not a king, he's a prince. But every king or prince has subjects. Who were Satan's subjects? Were they the fallen angels or demons? They're those human beings that have given allegiance to Satan, to him. But who were Jesus Christ, the king's subjects? Were they the cherubim, seraphim, ophanim, the holy angels, the elders, the cloud of witnesses, and those people the Father's called like us that have given allegiance to Jesus. Now, Christ the King is supreme. The Son, it says in Colossians chapter 1, is the image of the invisible God. So Christ the King, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So Christ Jesus, Christ the King, is supreme. Now, let's look at his attributes. First of all, he has ultimate power. Secondly, he has ultimate authority. He's majestic. Ancient of Days, it says in Psalms. And in Philippians, it says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord of lords and he is King of kings. He is supreme. Now, this supreme king wants a relationship with all his subjects. Not like an earthly king, but this King of kings and Lord of lords, he wants to have a relationship with each one of us. There's a little spider here. Just a bit. Now, he says in Psalm 25 that he confides in those who fear him. See, he wants to confide in his subjects, those that fear him. He wants to make his covenant known to them. Another attribute of our king is he's full of grace and mercy. He gives us all a free will. But he's ultimate judge over all. In John 5, it says, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son." And you heard the Gospel of Matthew and how he separated the goats from the sheep. He is the judge. Now let's look at our King's heart. We were born in the world under the Prince of the Air. God the Father so loved the world, the people he created, he's talking about, that he sent his only son into the world as a light and as a servant king and as a living sacrifice to overcome the world and to save those who believe in him. His heart is that all would be saved, those that he created. But as you know from the gospel, that's not to be the case. But God chose the foolish things, that's you and me, of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, he has plucked us out of the world and offered us the kingdom of heaven. As hearts love him and obey him, the kingdom comes and grows on earth. But we are still contaminated by the world, so in his grace and mercy, he sends the Holy Spirit to live in us, to disciple, to teach us all things, and to guide us into all truth. He has given us a free will, so we have to voluntarily make ourselves subject to his kingdom. Jesus wants to rule over our hearts. So why do we still worry? Jesus said that the pagans run after these things, you know, such as what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. So don't look at those sort of things. You know, the world is passing away. Why invest into the world when it's passing away? Seek the invisible. Seek the kingdom of heaven. But he knows that we need to be fed and clothed. But his main point here is seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. So Jesus is saying to all of us, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So now, some years ago, I was having a quiet time with God, and I really had that strong sense the Holy Spirit says, I don't want you to get any food for yourself. I don't want you to go and buy any food for yourself. You're not to feed yourself. When we say not to feed yourself, not get any food for yourself. I said, yes, Lord. And so I thought, well, my twisted mind came into play. Sorry, you don't have minds like this, but I thought, well, I've got a beautiful wife at home. I'm going to get dinner. So that's great. At least I've got one meal that I can have a day. So I go home, and I get home, and Sue says, oh, darling, my brother and I have been talking about this story that we're putting together, this project of a fictional story. And he said that he's got 2 weeks that he could use a place at Venus Bay. And we thought, look, this is a good opportunity for us to really spend a good, solid amount of time doing it rather than being on the phone. And I said, well, when are you thinking of going to Venus Bay? And she said, tomorrow. I thought, you know what? God has the last laugh. So I thought, oh, well, see what happens. And so the next day I'm at work and I'm running a business. And at lunchtime, I'm working away, and the door, I hear the knocking on the door. And Andrew, the storeman, comes in. And I said, yes, Andrew, how can I help you? And he said, look, I don't know, my wife always gives me 2 sandwiches every day. And I normally scoff them down. But I've only had one and I'm absolutely full. Would you like the other one? And I said, Andrew, that's lovely. Yes, I really would. Thank you. And as soon as he walked out the door, I scoffed his wife's sandwich down too. And then a telephone rings, and a friend says, I want to catch up with you, John. Can we catch up tonight? And I said, well, this is probably a good time because Sue's away at the moment, so that sounds great. He said, why don't you come for dinner? And the next day, I'm at work, working away, and Marion comes in, who's in the sales department, and says, John, we've all had lunch together, and we've got all these chips left over. Would you like them? Now, for 2 weeks, I was fed without me having to get any food whatsoever. God was showing me how faithful he is. He was actually discipling me. Remember, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. So he was discipling me. He was teaching me a few things about my own weaknesses. The one thing is I have been quite fiercely independent. So receiving was not easy for me to do. I'm good at giving, but not good at receiving. And the Holy Spirit was teaching me to receive. He was teaching me humility. He was teaching me to be thankful for everything because he is faithful. I was involving the Holy Spirit more and more in my daily life. And I really believe the Lord wants you to let him involve him in your daily life. If you haven't, you probably do that already, but just an emphasis that it's so important that we do that. Let us pray. Father, forgive us when we have trusted in the world and the ways of the world. We choose to worship you, our King, for we have been created for the praise of your glory forever and ever. From now on, let us first seek your kingdom and your righteousness. Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit you sent, who dwells in us and longs to teach us all things. Help us maintain a healthy, reverent fear and love for you. Amen.